We're going to read our scripture lesson for tonight is from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. So hear the reading of God's word. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into his grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good evening, everyone. It's good to see you all. What a beautiful evening this is. Let me say a word of prayer as we come to God's word. Father in heaven, Lord, we praise your name for your beauty, the beauty that you made manifest even in your creation and, Lord, in your redemption. We thank you for affording us another opportunity this Lord's Day to gather around the table, to gather around your word and to fellowship, to worship, and to hear from you. Lord, as I open the word, I pray that you would open it to us. That you would open our ears to you in this beautiful evening. In Christ's name, amen. When I was dating my wife, you know that she's from Korea and I was in the Chicago area. I just felt that I should go and visit her in her home country, meet her parents, and maybe visit her church and kind of get to know her a little bit more. And so this Indian guy shows up in Korea and in a big church to which Nami and her family belongs. The pastor, Nami's pastor, who's very close to their family, almost like a spiritual father to Namhee and her mom and her sisters, he said, why don't you... I'm having two mics. No wonder I'm so loud. Can you still hear? Okay. So he said, why don't you come to the Sunday service and I'd like you to share your testimony. So Namhee was my interpreter and I shared my testimony in English and she translated for the whole church to understand. And that testimony quickly turned into kind of a mock interview on the spot. And the pastor began to ask me questions. And one of the questions he asked me towards the end was, I was in seminary at that time, and he said, Shiv, why do you want to be a pastor? You know, he's an experienced pastor he's been a pastor for, 30 years or so? He said, this involves so much suffering. Why do you want to do that? And I obviously did not have an answer to that. I had to think on my feet. And looking back, I think the Holy Spirit came to my rescue. And all I could think was and say was, do you see the hill of Calvary? There were three crosses. In the middle, we know, was our Lord, but beside him were two men crucified, both of them sinners, both of them criminals, crucified for their crime. But one was a believer. He believed in the Lord and said, would you remember me when you enter into heaven? And the other was a non-believer. He mocked Christ, saying, if you are the Son of God, why don't you save yourself and save me? So I said, look here, there is a believer and there is an unbeliever, and they are both suffering. So we will all suffer in this world regardless of where we stand. So why not just be a pastor? Maybe I spoke way beyond my wisdom, I have myself not forgotten it, because I don't think it just came from my own heart or my own wisdom. If Fast forward another year, I was finishing seminary, and we were looking for churches to serve at. And even through my classes, I began to sense in my spirit that, and I'd forgotten about this episode with the testimony and interview, that pastoral ministry does involve suffering. And I said to the Lord, "Lord, you wanted me to be a pastor. I was willing to go to seminary, but I'm not sure if I want to suffer." And I felt the Lord spoke to me, and he said to me, "Your suffering will be your real seminary. Your suffering will be your real seminary." I want to bring up the question of suffering today, this evening, which is vast and deep. Every human being on the planet has to reckon with it in one way or the other. Sometimes suffering hardens us, and at other times it softens us. I will confess to you, I'm not a person, at least in my estimation, who has suffered a lot. I have not lost a close family member yet. I know some of you have. I have not had a long-lasting illness or a disability. I know some of you have. I've never been in a life-changing accident or a disaster. Maybe some of you have. I've not suffered terrible financial hardships. Maybe some of you have. I've not been in a terrible betrayal or conflict which has debilitated me or hardened me or led me to resentment. The only thing I could think of is my long-term somewhat estrangement from my own family and especially my own father since my conversion. The closest I think I have come to suffering was in the days when, this was before I was a Christian, just before I was a Christian, I was a graduate student in the city of Philadelphia. I was 25 years old. I'd come to live the dream of the American life. I wanted to be a computer engineer. I was working hard to make that dream possible. I was working with a world-famous professor, and I was just excelling in all that I was doing. But inside my own heart, everything began to fall apart, and I cannot explain it. I lost the passion, the joy, the strength, the desire to continue on that path, and I just became a complete wreck inside of myself. And those were the days that led to my conversion. A man who's never really heard of Christ growing up, well, maybe some, but not really reckoned with who Christ was. There's one more reason I want to raise the question of suffering is as we find ourselves in a pandemic, which is going to be with us for several more months, as far as we can tell. We cannot tell much even now. Maybe we might experience loss of health, loss of a loved one. I know friends who've lost their brothers or family members living far away, and it doesn't even feel real. Really, that person died? My brother died? Maybe we will find ourselves in difficult circumstances with respect to maybe finances or living situations, maybe loss of future plans, which can happen even to young people. So suffering is coming our way, and our world is not very good at equipping us for suffering. There is nobody who is immune to suffering, no more than they are immune to coronavirus today. In our world, often suffering, the problem of suffering is pitted against faith in God. If there is God, then why is there suffering? You know, if there is no God, our suffering actually becomes even more unbearable. It leaves us with no recourse to a God who can help us, and it makes our suffering seem meaningless and just more painful, driving us to complete despair. Our world rejects suffering vehemently. Vehemently rejects suffering. Subconsciously, we are made to believe that all suffering is bad, and we are to avoid it at all costs. We are so engrossed in pursuing happiness, so engrossed in seeking comfort, that instinctively, the moment we see suffering, we run for the exit door, like there's a fire in the building. We swerve our wheel as though an exit we missed, because the road which says suffering seems like the wrong way. that only explains why Buddhism is so popular and so attractive in the Western world, because the foundation of Buddhism is to deal with the problem of suffering. But Christianity, on the other hand, is quite different. It deals with a deeper problem, the problem of sin, the problem of separation from God. And sin, the world which is stricken with sin, is attended by suffering, is attended by pain, by misery, with all kinds of despair and challenges. We know that as Scripture ends, this is what it says. This is the Apostle John on the Patmos Island. He writes, "He will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning or crying or pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." When I read those words, I often long for that time when there will be a world where there are no regrets. There is no despair. Let's turn to Romans 5 and see what Scripture tells us in the context of suffering. I really want to focus on verses 3 to 5, but the first two verses for context. Paul says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Peace with God is first accomplished and established. That's the first word for a Christian, that you have peace with God. And then he says, "Through him, through Christ, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand." He speaks of grace as a place that we stand. By faith, we have access to grace, which is a place in which we stand. We are standing in the place of grace. If you are in Christ, you have peace with God, and you are standing in a place of grace. And he says, "And so we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." We stand in grace, and we look forward to the hope of the glory of God. That is the place where a Christian stands. And with that context, actually the word there which says we rejoice in the hope of glory is elsewhere. I don't know why they've translated here as rejoice, but elsewhere it is translated as boasting. We boast in the hope of the glory of God. Just imagine you're standing in the place of grace with peace with God and looking forward to glory. Paul says, we boast in this glory. More than that, verse 3, he goes on to say, and these are the verses I want to look at. More than that, we boast in our sufferings, for suffering leads to endurance, and endurance leads to character, and character leads to hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because the love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You see, there is a chain. Suffering leads to endurance. Endurance leads to character. And character leads to hope. And hope leads to honor. No shame. A place of no shame, which is a place of honor. In the Reformed world, we often look at Romans 8:30. It's called the golden chain of salvation. It's more well known. It says, "And those whom he predestined, he called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified." So Paul lays down this golden chain of salvation. And now here in Romans 5, what we see, and I call it the golden chain of suffering. I want to briefly trace this chain and end with the conclusion. This chain, the first link in this chain is suffering. Suffering. You know, this word suffering sometimes can be hard to explain, but this is the same word that Jesus uses in John 16 when he says, "In this world you will have trouble. You will have tribulation," even translated. "In this world you will have suffering." It seems like Jesus is almost promising that there will be pain and suffering in this world. The meaning of this word has to do with something like pressure, a place of constriction, where you are hemmed in, when you are closed in and confined. between narrow walls, and you cannot escape. This is the hemming, a hemmed-in position from where you cannot escape. I said, when we suffer, we want to escape, but suffering is a place which prevents that escape. It's a place of distress. Some people have claustrophobia, but it actually begins to close in on you and push on you. I may not have experienced significant suffering, but we are hearing from a man who's chosen by God, Apostle Paul, whose call to ministry was characterized by suffering. If you remember, the Lord gives a vision to Ananias, who was called to baptize Paul. He was told about Paul that he's a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. That's the calling of Paul. This pastor, this missionary, this apostle goes around in the Roman world planting churches after churches amidst great persecution. He speaks to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians, a church which he planted, a church which later went on to choose the super apostles over him. He experienced betrayal by the people whom he brought into Christ. He says, 1 Corinthians 11, he says, 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Because he was a Roman citizen, so he could not be given 40, so they gave him 39. If you get lashes on your back, it takes a while for your skin to heal. 39 lashes. It takes a while for it to heal, and then you get a second one. And then you get a third one. And you get 5 of those. Paul probably never slept on his back. He probably never did. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Probably he had broken bones, scars to show. 1 I was stoned. Usually you're stoned to death. He survived a stoning. 3 times I was shipwrecked. When you're shipwrecked 3 times, that's like saying I was close to death. I didn't know if I would survive this shipwreck. He was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, not in airplanes, walking. In danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers. And on top of that, in toil and hardship, through sleepless nights. If you have a baby, you know what's a sleepless night. In hunger and in thirst, often without food. In cold and exposure. And on top of all of this, he says, on me is the pressure of all the churches that I have planted, the anxiety. This is a man who is acquainted with suffering. He's acquainted with suffering. Andrew, do you still want to be in ministry? I'm not sure if it's my phone. For a Christian, the suffering is not the last word. It's the first link in a golden chain. It's not the last word. It's only the beginning. You might say, how can I survive in this constricted, hemmed-in place? How do I survive in that place of suffering without dying or killing myself? Paul says, suffering produces endurance. It produces endurance. Maybe better translated, perseverance. Perseverance is simply the ability to remain. Just remain where you are. And he says, this does not come to us naturally. We want to slip out, look for the exit. But suffering hems us in for God to produce endurance. Suffering is like a crucible in which remaining in that furnace melts you. It melts you. You become molten. You become soft if you remain in that place. That's perseverance. But why? Why? The chain continues. It's not done yet. So that we may be shaped. Now that you're molten, you can be shaped into character. Into character. Into a shiny diamond or a beautiful ornament. That's God's character formation. Only in this molten state do we allow the hammer of the word to hit us. Have you ever been through an experience in which you've experienced suffering and then you turn to God's word and it hits you like never before? Like never before, because we have calloused hearts. But when God puts us in that molten furnace, the word enters in. Jeremiah says, "Is not my word like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces?" It's only in a place of suffering that the Spirit of God percolates into our hearts. Pastor John Piper says, "A thousand sorrows prepares a man to preach." Just to preach. A thousand sorrows prepares a man to preach. The Lord said to me, "Your suffering is your seminary. Your suffering is your seminary." Maybe I'll share just briefly. This time of coronavirus has been a strange time, to say the least. For me, it has been a time of lurking conflict. It has been a time of all kinds of temptations being amped up. I found myself grumbling. I found myself complaining. I found myself in despair, ready to get into fights. Maybe I don't show it, but that's the condition of my heart. Ideating about escape routes is constantly happening. And the only way to remain, you know, sometimes God hems us in. He hems immigrants in through visas and travel restrictions. You're stuck. Where would you go? You want to escape? Where would you go? What I realized was God was bringing me to realize a very important thing, which I don't think has ever hit me before, is the problem of self. The problem of self, in which the self-talk that goes on in our heads, that's has to do with the self which has not yet died. It's the talking self, which is not yet ready to die and pick up his cross and follow the Lord. God is shaping me, he's breaking me, and he's making me. And the only way to survive was to just stay there and let him do what he does, to yield myself to him. Suffering produces endurance, the molten state. Endurance produces character, in which God hammers us into an ornament, and character produces hope. When God throws you into the furnace and you think, "This is my last day, I'm going to die today." And what happens? The Lord is with you in the furnace. He's your Emmanuel. And he says, "Shiv, we are in the furnace. Let's dance. Let's dance." Do you recall something? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego see Christ face to face in the furnace. It is in the furnace God shows us his face. It is the burning bush of God's revelation like no other. That produces hope. There is a God who is alive. There is a God who is speaking. And there is a God who is acting. That is hope. Hope is about the future, but hope is a present reality in which we have a sure confidence to continue on. To continue on. I must wrap this quickly here. I've said before, our culture is one that rejects suffering and runs from it. But our culture is also one that is desperately hopeless. It is full of despair. Think about it. The road to hope leads through suffering. Is it possible that our culture is hopeless because it rejects suffering? Because it rejects suffering. The golden chain of suffering, you cannot get to hope and the honor that comes with that hope until you go through that link, through that furnace of suffering. How do we endure this suffering? Let me say a word and then I'll conclude. The balm in this furnace is the balm of prayer. In the balm of prayer, when you apply that to your souls, there have been days when I could not pray, my prayer list just blew. It just flew. Lord, how do I pray? I just hung my head. Just hung my head. And as the song said, pour out your soul. Unite yourself with the Lord and His purposes in your life. He's making something out of you. If you fizzle away and run away, He cannot do anything with you. Yield yourself to the Lord. Let Him do what He does. And we know His hands will make something great. He will make something great. And you will not be put to shame. You know why? Because this golden chain of suffering is interlaced with a scarlet thread. A scarlet thread, Paul says, because the love of God has been poured into our hearts. Remember that place of grace, the peace that we have with God, and the face set towards His glory. That's the scarlet thread that goes through this golden chain, that carries this chain and keeps you alive, keeps you not only surviving, but thriving, thriving in Christ. If there is any faith, if there is any God in this world who has an answer to suffering, even though He came to forgive us of our sins, it is our Lord Jesus Christ. Don't forget the middle cross. The Lord Himself. He may not take away your suffering. He's our Emmanuel. He enters into our suffering. He stands with us in the furnace. He dances with us. And He says, I have been there. And I am with you today. Will you trust me? I will walk with you. I will lead you. And you will not burn even though you walk through the fires. And you will not drown even though you walk through the rivers. Will you follow Him? Will you follow Him? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I cannot help but think that the little suffering that I've been through, the greatest suffering I've been through, has brought me face to face with You, or I would not be standing here. Lord Jesus, we ask that You would show us Your face, that You would extend Your hand and embrace us and walk us through these paths from which we want to escape. Lord, give us that grace to remain and to yield and to survive and to thrive for Your glory. In Christ's name, I ask for all of us. Amen.